Malia, what great words to that song, I Saw Jesus in You. I'm going to introduce our speaker tonight because there are some folks here that have not heard him. Evangelist Adrian Burden has been with us since Sunday morning, doing a fantastic job in preaching. We've had services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and now Wednesday night. And he's a tremendous dynamic evangelist, often a youth evangelist, but our people have loved every single service. And let me say this, this preacher has gotten something out of every single message, all of them very memorable. I did not want you to miss him tonight. And so, Adrian Burden, you come and preach to us.
Sir, thank you so much. Well, first off, good evening. I'm going to run an experiment here. I'm going to say good evening to the kids first, then I'm going to say good evening to the adults, all right? So, good evening, Awana kids. Good evening, parents. Not too shabby. I hope you are alive and alert and awake, and I'm so glad for your presence here. I get to do the fun part during this time to kind of make clear the mission that is here at Awana and the programs that are here. You know, I know for me, parents, if you're anything like myself, that sometimes I can define life and memories by the Disney Worlds and the Grand Canyons and those kind of events. But I tell you that I appreciate you being here because this is what life is made of. A lot of the times of running after work or in grabbing something quick at the McDonald's and grabbing two apple pies or whatever it is. These are the memories that life is made up of. And I'm thankful for your presence being here, showing up for your children during this time. You know, I understand that there's, you know, some new young people that have joined the program. But I know as well that in a time when sometimes we want there to be absolute clarity of what your children are being taught. I would like to bring that before all these wonderful awards are handed out. I know there's people that come from different places, from different areas of the country, even go and attend different churches maybe on Sunday. But let me just make sure that we're abundantly clear about what's being taught here at Awana as it pertains about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we begin, I remember when I first started in ministry years ago, I had these two gentlemen that I asked this question to. I came up to them and I said, guys, they were two preachers. I said, can you help me out? Can you explain to me about like heaven and Jesus and things like that? And I remember as I asked the two gentlemen, they were very animated guys, right? Like, they were like, even when they talked, you could tell they had like, you know, gusto about them. And one of the guys, he started saying something like this. He said, oh, that's a good question, young man. Oh, that's a good question. And he started singing this little song in a way, but talking to me. He says, son, when you're going down life's journey and you're getting ready to go through the valley, and he starts going through, and the other guy's on the other side going, and he says, you got to keep your eyes on the light. You got to go through all the turmoil, and when that ship gets all rough, and that ship gets all rugged, and he's back here, like Lion King, right? And he's doing his thing, and he's going on, and he said, just keep your eyes on the prize, young man. What on earth are you saying to me, sir? I could make those statements at any church, in any place, in the entire world, and the only thing you could do is nod and smile awkwardly. Why? Because don't we want to be clear? Don't we want to be clear about if we're going to take the time, for crying out loud, to bring the young people here, you're going to make the extra stop, right? If we're going to do all of these things, wouldn't it be like, what then, break it down in a few minutes, Adrian, what then is my kid being taught here about who Christ is and the thing that you call the gospel? Man, there's so many that's in the Bible. I love the Bible. There's so much. But I do want to at least show you from here in a little space of time. And I'm going to actually use these little plants, if I can. Is that cool? Okay. The kid said it's fine, all right? Now, it's interesting because in Romans 3:20, the Bible says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
And then it says in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I don't know every teacher personally, I don't, but I can assure you one thing, because I know the verses that these kids are memorizing inside of their classes and different things, but there's some things that are very much, oh, that's heavy. Okay. Oh, that's the real deal right there, folks. All right. All right. I think we're good. All right. Ha ha. There's a reason for this, I promise, all right? But in Romans 3:20, it says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Why is there an emphasis put on the Bible? Because the Bible tells us what is right and what is wrong. Like, we know that we have done wrong. Why? Because the Bible. You know, it starts right here. When you talk about the gospel, and we're going to go through here, then we're going to go here, then we're going to here. But when you start right here, look, I might not like it. There might be things I'm doing that are against the Bible, but someone draws the line. Someone says no, and that person is God. And by the word of God, I have an understanding of the knowledge of sin. Now, I have to start here. Why the Bible verse is so important? Why is the memorization? You say you're making little robots here. No, no, no. We want them to understand a point. Now, let's get there, but we start here. We have a problem. We all do, because we have all broken God's law. And because of breaking God's law, there's no way that I can go to heaven. Adrian, I thought God loved everybody. Don't go there. God loves you, but God hates sin. And God will always punish sin. But you continue. Okay, so we've all sinned. We have a problem. But then you keep going right here. In verse 23, keep reading 24, and it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look, the reason Pastor even said in his introduction that Jesus is the Savior is because he saves us from something. Our sin. Now, I know that many of you might have heard those story, and we just, Easter wasn't too far along in the past, so you understand this, but can you hear me just for a second for absolute clarity? But hear me just to sing this, is that for God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived a perfect life. You say, who was Jesus? He was God putting himself in the form of man to become like us. Then he then took the penalty for sin. Like, listen to me, and please understand, parents, I want to make it clear. I'm not using this as a swear word in the least. I'm just making sure we're abundantly clear that when Jesus was on the cross, Jesus, in essence, took my hell. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying as a swearer. I'm saying it as he took the penalty for my sin. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. There have been tons of people who have died terrible deaths. There have been tons of people that we've read about in history that had things that would happen similar. But Jesus Christ was the one that as he hung on that cross, he then took the penalty that I deserve, and God the Father in heaven poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ, and he died for my sin. The Bible says that he was then buried. But as we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday, when he came back from the dead, that he showed that he was more powerful than the thing we all fear, and that is death itself. You see, that story isn't just a nice nursery rhyme or some type of story like Jack and the Beanstalk. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ died for our sin. He was buried and he rose again. Oh, I'm sorry. And he rose again for us. So we see that, just for clarity's sake, we want to be clear. There's no shame. We're going to tell, we got a problem. That problem's called sin. But praise the Lord, God has a solution, and that solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I take one more step here? Young people, are you still with me? Nod your head if you're still with me. Nod your head. Okay, I think you're still with me. But there's something that we have. In Romans, continuing down in 4 verse 5, it says, "Now to him that worketh is reward, not reckon of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Oh, this is more than just keep your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on the light. No. The gospel says that we have a problem. God then has a solution. But do you know what now? God has done something so incredible. He's given to us a choice. You know, I don't have any balloons, Mr. Adrian. I actually make balloons a lot of times. And so let's just pretend I'm making a little hand balloon right here, and I made a hand balloon. And let's just say I had a little, well, not even an animal balloon. Does anybody have a dog? Anybody have a dog in their home? Anybody have a dog? What is your dog's name? Help me out. Lucy. Jonah and Lucy. Okay. Lucy. Am I hearing it right? Huh? Okay. Let's just say Lucy was here. And Lucy, let's just pretend Lucy's about this big. And let's just say that as Lucy's right here, now I know this is hard to imagine, but let's just say that God himself was standing right here. Now, if God was here, our eyes would melt out of our bodies and et cetera, et cetera. But let's just say he was here. And God looked at Lucy, the dog. "Lucy, I want you to go out them doors right there." Do you know what's going to happen? Lucy is going to go out them doors. Now, listen now. Now, let's just say God's right here again. And I'm right here. And he says, "Adrian, I want you to go out that door." You know what? Something that God loves me so much. You know he's given to me? A choice. Now, he can make me wish I had gone out that door. Now, that's true. However, the fact remains that God's not going to make this gospel. He's not going to shove it down your throat. You will. No. God loved the world that he gave his son, and God loves a person whether he rejects them or not. He gave a choice, and that verse is saying, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." You say, then, Brother Adrian, how then is this sin taken care of? Once a person realizes that Jesus Christ is the one, is sufficient to take away their sin, it's just here believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "And thou shalt be saved." There's nothing you can do to fix it, your situation. It is total belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some say that's so simple. And that is the reason why so many people neglect such great a gift. To believe, just like a child would believe, that because of their sinful condition, they could never enter to the presence of God. But by faith, believe that Jesus Christ can save from their sin. You know, in just a moment, when the awards are handed out, and I'm not sure, I know that musicians and stuff are going to be getting in their place. So actually, I know some musicians will be playing some music in a moment. So you go ahead and come out. But let me just play a pretend game for you just a moment as we get ready to close things off. Y'all have listened so well, and I've appreciated you hearing this. And especially parents, I appreciate it because, like I said, I wanted that you understand clearly what's taking place about what it means about the gospel. But let me tell you the danger, just parent to parent here, about this matter. You know, I know this can't happen, but let's just pretend for just a moment that we were able to go down and speak to the devil himself. And let's just pretend that if we were talking with him and a couple of his captains, so to speak. And let's just say the topic on the table was, how is it to make people not believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's just say that was the topic of decision, and the guys or the captains are throwing around the ideas. Well, I got an idea. What if we tell the people that are there that everything inside the Bible is a bunch of lies?
Let's get a couple of documentaries together on Hulu and Netflix, and we will convince all of them that this is a bunch of baloney. And if you believe this intellectually, you are like low, low on the totem pole, right? And so they're continuing discussion. I was like, I don't know about all that. He says, one of the guys says, I got it. Let's tell them that part of it's true. That there's some parts that are legit, but come on now. There's some parts where you can't really put your faith in all of what the Bible says. He interests the devil to some degree. And he says, that is interesting you say that. Maybe they'll just believe part of it to some degree. But you know, there's one that I think the captain would then say that I think has been one of the greatest stories ever told. You don't have to necessarily make them believe that the Bible's a lie and that you just don't believe any of it or just half of it. If we can just convince them to do it later, if we can just convince them, they have time. You know, I believe is there are many people that have good intentions to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that are just waiting for the right time. Tomorrow's a dangerous word, isn't it? I'm going to be a really good dad and spend time with my kids tomorrow. I'm going to really apply myself and really work harder at getting a better relationship tomorrow. I don't know many of you inside this room that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not been saved from your sin, do not let the greatest lie the devil could ever tell you in waiting to tomorrow be that which characterizes your existence. I appreciate you giving me time and clarity to think about these matters, and just so you understand what exactly is this matter about the gospel. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment as we pray together? And just a moment with our heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a second before we move in. And I know there's people that have got to get to different places and things that are getting ready to take place. I have sought with all of my being to explain to you that we have a problem called sin, but God has a solution in His Son, and that we have a responsibility and choice to believe on Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you have never done that. You've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never in your life have said to God that you understood where you were as a sinner and trusted Him alone, not a work, not a baptism, but just Him alone to save you from your sin. I don't want any person to walk out of an awards program like this and say, "No man cared about my soul." And so maybe where you sit right now, there's nothing special. No one needs to come up to you. No one needs to put anything over you. Maybe you just, in the quietness of this moment, in your heart, the best way you know how, express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, when I was 7, I simply just told the Lord, "Lord, I understand I'm a sinner, and I believe that You died for my sin. And the best way I know how, I ask You to save me from my sin." You know, as we have this time here together, you might be an adult in this room, you might be a child in this room. But if you have one question about this matter, look, awards are great. But more so than you seeing your child receive an award is that your child comes home to a born-again father or mother. And maybe you need to get this taken care of right now. You have a question. God is speaking to you. This is not the first time you've heard this. If that is you, this is an invitation. I know that this is, you know, we're here for words and here for the kids, but maybe God has spoke to your heart. If you go to the back of this room, there are gentlemen that are there that'll be happy to explain more exactly what I'm saying. We're not trying to sign you up for Faith Baptist Church. We're not trying to make it some email address. No, I'm just saying, because of a follower of Christ, we want to make sure that you know who He is. If that is your desire, I invite you to the back. You know, as we have this time here, I just want to make sure that there is an invitation given to you, that you know that you can have any question answered as it pertains to salvation. Maybe you prayed to be saved there in your seat. Man, tell us about it. Man, I'd be happy. Talk to me after the service. I would love to talk to you and show you verses from what I've said during these moments we have together. With those things being said, Pastor, would you like to close in prayer and different things or anything you would like to add as we close here?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll keep your heads bowed, please, and eyes closed. Salvation, knowing you're going to heaven, knowing your sins are forgiven, it's a free gift from God. The Bible says that for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just like any gift, though, when the gift is offered to you, you have to take it. And as Evangelist Adrian said a moment ago, God never forces that on anyone. One of the things we're very careful about in our Awana clubs is presenting the truth, but not forcing it upon someone, because that's an act of the free will. But God does say this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible does say that whosoever will may come. The Bible says Jesus, in fact, the words of Christ, he said, "Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." Salvation is as simple as coming to Christ. It's not a Baptist church or any other church for that matter. It's not a baptistry tank or sprinkled as a child. It's not being religious or trying to do good things. The Bible says the value of all our righteous works is really as filthy rags. But it's coming to Christ. And the good news is this: all are welcome to come. Jesus extends the invitation to every person in this room. Some of the young people in this room, they trusted Christ as their Savior this past year. Maybe, Mom or Dad, it's your night to receive Christ as Savior. What I'm going to do in a moment, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Sometimes we call it the sinner's prayer. It's a prayer of asking the Lord to save us. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And maybe tonight you'd recognize that you know you can't save yourself. You believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. And maybe tonight, maybe someone in this room is ready to receive Christ as Savior. As I pray this prayer, if you would like, if you sense the Lord and know you need him in your life, then as I pray this prayer out loud, I'd like for you to pray it silently in your heart, asking Christ to be your Savior. Lord, I come to you today as a sinner. I violated your law, Lord. I know that I have. And Lord, I can't do anything to fix that. And so I come to you seeking your mercy, your forgiveness, and your grace. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. And Lord, right now, the best I know how, I'm trusting you as my personal Savior. I'm believing that you died for me. Lord, please save me. I'm trusting in you. In Jesus' name, keep your heads bowed, please, and eyes closed. No one's going to look around. I'm going to finish my prayer in just a moment. But maybe you'd say, "Pastor Mahdi, I prayed that prayer in my heart with you a moment ago." If you did, it would be a good thing just to raise your hand and let us know about that. I'm the only one looking around, but I'll pray for you specifically, not by name, nor would I embarrass you in any way, but I'll close my prayer thinking of you. Is there anyone who would say, "Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you a moment ago"? Anyone at all? Thank you. Anyone else? You may put your hand down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, now we come before you and thank you for this one who has acknowledged receiving you, trusting you as Savior. Father, I pray that this would be a great day of new beginnings. Thank you, Lord, for grace and for salvation. Thank you, Lord, that it is simple as believing. And Father, for any in this room that yet need to come to Christ, I pray that they will tonight seek out a worker, a pastor, someone here that can show them from the Bible what it means to be saved. Thank you for your love. Thank you that whosoever will may come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to go.